Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsession
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey, it's Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. You know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com, FamilyPetAncestry.com brings you back to JackieCation.com, just because it's funny. Anyway, the first things is I have a new album out that's been out now for probably 2 months, and I like it, and you should like it, and you should listen to it on all the platforms if you like to just stream stuff, Pandora, Spotify, all the things, or you can buy it at my website, a hard copy, or Amazon or iTunes for download. And if you're international and don't like iTunes or Amazon, just email me, Jackie@JackieCation.com, and I'll send you a download code, and you can PayPal me $10. Anyway, there's many ways to support the show. First and foremost, and free, is the Amazon banner. At both DorkForest.com and JackieCation.com, there is a portal to Amazon. You order like normal on Amazon. Doesn't cost you extra. But there is just a kickback to the Dork Forest for a part of your order. And I totally appreciate that. Another way to support the show is just the PayPal donation button. If you like the show, feel free to donate. And if you want to do it monthly, I haven't made it easy. You have to remember every month that you like the show, and then donate. Some people don't like PayPal, so they've been donating via Venmo. And that's, you're just using my email address, Jackie@JackieCation.com. Another way to support the show is to write reviews on iTunes or a review of my album on Amazon. And just be supportive in general and tell people about the show. And that I totally appreciate just as much. If you like merch, you can get a t-shirt. I got two different Dork Forest t-shirts. There's the black Ranger of the Dork Forest t-shirt and the green Dork Forest t-shirt with the logo. They're both American made, union made here in the United States. So they run big, just so you know. Other than that, there are premium episodes of the Dork Forest. Some live episodes cost me some money. And so I make you guys pay money. Does that seem fair? They're only $2. They're over at Bandcamp. It's thedorkforest.bandcamp.com. There's a bunch of live episodes at different festivals in different venues around the countries. There's probably a dozen of them. And then there's a storytelling album. If you have all my albums and you would like to hear some stories, there's, I believe, 4 or 5 stories on the storytelling album, and those are $1 apiece. So go get premium episodes if you're caught up, or if you like any of those guests, you could listen to clips over there as well. The Dork Forest is part of a podcast empire called allthingscomedy.com. So if you're ever looking for another pod to listen to, populated by stand-up comics, go over to allthingscomedy.com and wander around. This week in stand-up comedy, I'm off to Birmingham, Alabama. Lori Kilmartin and I are doing a live version of the Jackie and Lori Show, which is my other podcast over on Nerdist, and we're doing some stand-up shows in Birmingham, Alabama. You ever want to know where I'm doing stand-up comedy? My full schedule is on JackieCation.com, and you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, all at JackieCation.com. There's a fan page over on Facebook, Facebook.com/TheDorkForest, that has all my info on it. And there is a Ranger page where you can interact with other people who listen to this program. Speaking of listening to this program, let's get into it so you can listen to this program. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I'm back in my living room, and I am with, there were several thousand people that I could have done Dork Forests with on the Joko Nerd Cruise, and we've just brought it right back to Los Angeles, because we're in my house, and I'm with Renee Camus. Hello and welcome, Sea Monkey from the Joko Cruise that we ran into 5 times, but I was like, I still can't do it. But I did record 6 episodes or something like that, so it was pretty good.
That's pretty great.
Not bad. No. So Renee Camus, was that your first Joko Cruise?
No, not even a little. That was my 6th.
Oh my gosh. There's only been 7, I think, I know. Right? So nice work. Nice work. You're I missed in for the duration.
Thank you. Yeah, I missed number 5. We had kind of decided after 4 that we might be done. And then, so we missed 5. And then for 6, they announced Imogen Heap. And I said, well, crap. Now I have to go.
Who's Imogen Heap?
Oh my God. She's amazing. She's a.
Hey, I didn't know who anybody was when I got on that cruise, including, sadly, Jonathan Colton.
Oh, that is sad.
That, but now I'm on board. I am on board. Who is Imogen Heap?
Imogen Heap. There's no E at the end, so I'm guessing it's Imogen. But anyway, Imogen Heap is a musician, music, songwriter, Yeah. Singer-songwriter. She does a lot with electronic music, and she has these incredible gloves that I forget what they're called, like Musso gloves or something like that, where she makes music with the gloves. And
in the air?
Yeah. She just kind of moves her fingers in the air, and it is unreal. It's incredible.
Oh, that is unreal.
And I knew all that. I mean, I didn't know about that. I was a fan of her before I knew that that's how she did it. And then she had those on the cruise, and it was just...
Oh my God, that incredible. Must have been incredible to watch.
It was. It was really amazing. And I filmed the whole Joko Cruise concert that she did, and it's on my YouTube channel.
Okay. So Renee Camus, by the way, is at CAMUSR6 and reneecamus.com. And then you're also in a swing dancing documentary. And so if people go to aliveandkickingfilm.com.
Yes.
And it's and, aliveandkickingfilm.com.
Yeah.
And they can check it out.
Just to be clear, I'm not actually in it. I'm in the background in one scene.
Oh, fair enough.
I was
part of it.
I was involved with it. I was content strategist for it.
Oh,
she
there
was
you
mostly
go.
Done with it. And I am a swing dancer, but she was mostly done with it by the time.
We must discuss the dance because I want to dance. Yeah. I have no sense of rhythm, no sense of
pshaw.
Pshaw? All right. I enjoy that attitude a great deal. It's I will tell you this is the one they asked for one recommendation. Of at the end of the Joko survey, entertainment survey. Mm-hmm. And I recommended, they've been on the Dork Forest, but I need to have them on solo. A band called Beatallica. They're a Beatles Metallica mashup band.
Oh, wow.
So they dress and look like Metallica, or they sing Beatles songs, but they sound like Metallica.
Okay.
The lead singer has the same voice as the Metallica guy. And, but their headshot, like, is them wearing the Sgt. Pepper's outfits.
Oh, fun.
But they're trashed. And so, and they're huge in Germany, but they're from Milwaukee.
Wow.
And I babysat for the lead singer's little sister. So that's nice. How I know him. And you would have thought he would have babysat for her, but he was her older brother and he would have just been the boss. Anyway, as with children. Anyway, so Renee Camus, we're going to discuss the dance.
Oh boy.
Have you always loved the dance?
I have.
Okay.
I have.
And so you continue to dance to this day?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I stepped away for a little while, but I'm getting back into it.
Okay. So did you take those classes when you were a kid?
Like, yes.
Was that the thing?
Well, yeah. I started at 5. I started with dance lessons at 5.
Okay.
ballet, or as close as you get to it at
right.
5 years old.
Were you grown up here?
No. I'm from New York.
New York. Okay. The city or just the state?
Queens.
Queens
so
itself.
New York City,
go.
But not Manhattan.
Right. There's an Italian ice in your past.
Yeah. So. Several, I think, yeah.
I love an Italian ice. It's the fanciest of all snow cones. Anyway.
True.
So when you were 5, you started dance.
Yes.
What kind? Ballet?
Ballet or, okay. You know, yeah. It's not exactly ballet at 5, but yeah, that's essentially what it was. And then,
right.
And then at 13, I started tap and jazz.
Oh, wow.
But the thing is, actually, before that, when I was 8 years old, my parents took me to this dance camp in Massachusetts called Pinewoods.
Okay.
Which is a folk dance camp for adults. It's primarily for adults, but there are 2 weeks during the year.
Yeah.
During the summer, where you can bring kids. You know, and
you can go as a family?
Yes. And exactly. And the week that we went to is called Family Week because you can bring your kids.
Right, right.
And so my parents, actually, they went without us, without my brother and me, 1 year. And they came back and my parents said, we said, you're never leaving this house without us again.
Right.
So they took us the next year and it.
And
that was that.
And you fell in love because it was it 2 weeks of or
one
just
week.
One?
Just
you,
1 week.
You did 1 week, but it was a week of dance.
Mm-hmm. It was a week of English and American country dancing. So English country dancing and American contra dancing and square dancing.
Okay.
What stuff are like it?
Yeah. Let the defining begin.
Yes.
English. Country dancing?
Yes. English country dancing.
Is that like, I read a lot of Regency romances.
Yes.
Is that like a quadrille?
Yes.
Or a minuet?
Yes.
Or something? What are we looking at?
So a quadrille is a square dance. Anything that's done in a square is a quadrille. Essentially.
Hi. That's it's like a square dance because it's a quad.
Quad, exactly.
I'll be over here. Okay. Fantastic.
That's right.
Okay.
So English country dancing. And yes, if you've ever seen, and this is the easiest way to define it really, is if you've ever seen a Jane Austen adaptation, you know,
right.
Pride and Prejudice, Sense and Sensibility, whatever, then you've seen English country dancing.
Okay. So that's what it is. It's lines of people mm-hmm. stepping forward, moving around.
Yes. And then moving through space in patterns.
Mm-hmm. Right. Moving through space in patterns.
Yeah.
To, is it always the same? Is it like a 4-4? Like what's
depends.
The, it can be any, it can be fast. It can be slow.
Yep. There's some in waltz time. There's some in jig time. There's some in 9-8, which is like a slip jig. You know, 1-2-3-4-5-6-7-8-9. 1-2-3-4-5-6-7-8-9.
Wow.
So it
okay.
feels like three.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, it's really fun.
So there are less stately, like because the ones you see in the Jane Austen movies are all these crazy stately things.
Yes.
And but the ones you see in like a Dickens novel is more of a jig. And
yeah, those are. Because that's a little bit later. Dickens is more Victorian than Regency,
Victorian,
but it's
yeah. But they're still, I think, doing still a country.
Yes.
They're kind of a, what would be called a country, English country dance?
In the general sense, a country dance or a contra dance or a square or,
So, and then square dancing is square dancing. I know square dancing because I went to junior high in the 80s.
Yes.
So, do-si-do.
Exactly.
And all that kind of thing. So,
and they're not that different, really.
Okay.
You know, the names are different, but a lot of the figures are similar.
Okay. And so what they're doing and how you're parading around and such, it looks a lot the same?
Yeah. So do-si-do
is
called back-to-back in English country.
Oh, fair enough.
But it's essentially the same move.
What? My mind has been blown.
Really?
Yeah, because the thing is I genuinely love square dancing.
It's really
fun. It's super fun. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with square dancing. Yeah. That's good times. And then what's contra dancing?
Contra dancing is like square dancing, but in long lines.
Okay.
So it like still line has... No, country line dancing...
Is something else.
...is different. Country line dancing is like tush-push and...
Tush push sounds dirty and awesome.
You don't remember Tush Push? Didn't no. What's his name? What is his name? Miley Cyrus's dad.
Oh,
have a song. Oh no, that was Achy Breaky Heart. But I think he may have also had a song about the Tush Push. Anyway, it's to more country music as opposed to folk or bluegrass music or something or Irish music. Often you'll have Irish tunes for contra dancing. Anyway. Country line dancing is where people are standing by themselves in lines,
right,
facing a direction, and they'll do a set of steps in that direction, and then turn to the right and do that same set of steps, and then
ooh,
turn
like
to the
hustle.
Back, and then kind of like.
But that was a disco version of line dancing.
Yes,
okay.
Although not to be confused with the swing version of hustle, which is a couple dance.
Okay,
it gets very it can get very complicated.
Well, there's clearly there's a rabbit hole of dance that exists. Holy smokes!
Yeah.
Okay, so all right, so contra dancing is what then?
So contra dancing is like square dancing,
okay,
but in long lines,
okay,
as in you're still dancing with a partner.
Ah.
But it's called for as many as will, is how they call it. So you have people line up typically. If you have the music, I'm kind of doing a little diagram with my hand.
There's a diagram.
If you have
table.
The music at the front, the band, usually a live band, if you're lucky, a live band at the front, and then usually the gentlemen or the leaders line up on the left and the followers on the right.
Okay.
That's looking at the band.
And so whoever you're facing is your partner?
And you're facing your partner, correct.
Okay.
And so then you have lines of couples down.
As opposed to square
hall.
Dancing, which has facing
a couple in a square.
In a square.
Exactly.
Or a cross, kind of, or a plus kind of situation,
right.
If it were like that.
Right.
I get it.
Yes.
I get it.
And English country dancing is the same, generally, with the long lines.
Okay. Okay.
Sometimes there are sets of three couples or four couples in a line.
So it was a week of that. And how old were you and your brother?
Eight. I was eight.
You were eight.
My brother was 10.
10-ish?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's kind of the perfect time to start learning kind of square dancing and line dancing and or contra dancing. Okay.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Well, it is interesting. And I've heard of contra dancing before. Never knew what it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look
yeah.
at me learning. Good.
It's really fun and it's easy. You can, you know, it's just walking and they call it. There's a caller who tells you what to do.
Like square dancing.
Mm-hmm.
See, I think that's what I like about square dancing is that someone reminds you what the next thing is.
Right. You don't have to have it
memorized in your head. Okay. So you did that.
Yeah.
And then, and your parents were into dance too as well, obviously,
yes.
right?
Yes. Yeah. Not as much, but yes.
Well, and I'm sure now you're dipped, right? So then when you were like 13, mm-hmm. what did you take?
Tap and clogging or tap and jazz.
And jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Are there really jazz hands?
Yeah.
Okay. Those are real?
Yeah.
That's a thing?
Of course.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if it was a if it was like a thing that they made up.
Absolutely.
All right. No, no. Someone made it up, but jazz hands are real. Do jazz hands. On it. Yeah. And then everyone knows that everyone does know what that means. So what is jazz dancing?
Oh, boy. I was just at a conference 2 weeks ago, a music conference, Society for American Music Conference, and somebody was talking about this very thing.
All right.
But it doesn't mean I have a better answer.
Right. Exactly. Fair enough.
Jazz dancing. So it's kind of a catch-all term, and I think that's what this paper was talking about, is that it's kind of a catch-all term where I don't want to get too far into the book or into the paper that I saw.
Please, the minutiae.
Okay, this paper was about, Chris Wells was the scholar who was talking about it, and he's also a swing dancer. He's like the other dancer at this conference that I got to.
Okay. Nice.
One of the others. But there are not many of us. Anyway, so he was talking about this book from the 50s, 60s.
Okay.
Called, I think it's called Vernacular Jazz Dance.
Okay.
And it's by Marshall Stearns.
Okay.
And Marshall Stearns was trying to sort of collect these vernacular jazz dances, which is referring to swing.
Okay.
Swing and a lot of its variants. So East Coast swing, you know, and then little things like Sugar Push and Tacky Annie.
Okay.
Of course I'm blanking on all these names.
That gets Shim a catch-all in jazz?
And what it was basically was like social jazz dancing, like swing.
Oh,
things that were done in a ballroom as opposed to things that were done on stage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But at the same time, there's a version of jazz dancing which is referred to stage and concert
dance. A
more performance dance as opposed to a social dance. Exactly. And that is like, you know, that's where you have jazz hands and you have the jazz square, the little box that you make with your feet. And you have like chassés and, you know.
What's a chassé?
It's hard to do it.
It's hard to do sitting down on an audio platform.
Yeah, exactly.
I did an episode about salsa dancing also an audio experience.
Yeah.
Because it's an audio show. Anyway.
Yes.
So.
Chassé is just kind of a step together step, like a, it's like skipping.
Okay.
Yeah.
But do you skip sideways or do you skip up and forward? Okay.
It can go either way, but typically chassé is sideways.
Fair enough.
Or there's this.
Because it has a sachet feel to it. And I always think of sachéing as a left to right. I don't know why.
Chassé. But it's essentially
but,
the same.
But that's where I went. So, yeah, fair enough.
And it's more, yes, exactly. And part of it is chassé, I guess, is French, whereas sachet maybe is English. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. And sachet, it feels like there's a lady involved, really.
Right.
Work in the room is what I always feel like.
That makes sense.
So, cool. So, jazz dance. So, you did tap and jazz.
Yes.
And tap, you need special shoes, you guys. Do all dances need special shoes? Kind of.
They should, mostly because you want to keep them clean. Regular dance shoes, if you wear them outside, you will destroy them.
Right. So. For sure, like ballet slippers.
Yeah.
And then I took ballet in college.
Oh, cool.
And no. It wasn't they asked us all why we took the ballet, and I said, cuz I want to learn to cross the room on gossamer wings.
Nice.
I had read it in a book once, and I was 18. So and I knew I was kidding. So but I never did. I'm not a gazelle. But uh-huh. I do love the idea of dance.
Yeah.
So can you still tap?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it just stack like all the different kind of dances that you learned how to do? You're like, I want to do them again. And you kind of practice them whenever you can.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was my career actually. I don't know if that counts as a geek thing since it was my career, but.
Well, that's fine. I mean, the thing is about dance is that everyone I know who had a career in dance, they're like, no, I am a dancer. It doesn't matter if you had to stop dancing because you become 77 years old.
Yeah.
You are still a dancer. It'd be like saying, I'm not a comic. I'm like, I am sorry. The duration, I will always be a comic. And so, so I get that. So when did you dance? So before we get to that though, because now you're 13 and you're taking tap and jazz.
Mm-hmm.
What was the next thing you took?
Well, I kept continued going to Pine Woods.
By yourself?
No, my parents took me back.
Oh, good.
Until I was 16. When I was 16, I worked at Pinewoods for the summer.
That's it. That's how you get to go for free.
Yeah, I was there for there for the whole summer. At 16, then again at 18, and then again at 21.
Okay. Oh, wow. So there was time in between when you did not go to Pinewoods and
no, I would go for a week.
Okay. Oh, good.
Yeah. I kept going to Pinewoods for at least a week till I was basically 26.
Oh, fair enough.
And then went back in 2005, and then I haven't been since then, which is really sad. But
because you would go in a heartbeat, I'm sure.
I would, totally. Yeah, it's fun.
It's fun. And it's still to this day Contra Square Country?
That's just the basic frame. That's just the basic framework.
Okay.
There's actually a whole bunch of other stuff that you've never heard of.
Right.
Like clogging, Appalachian clogging, English step dancing. I went and taught Irish step dancing there once. Ritual dances like Morris dancing, sword dancing, long sword, rapper sword. Yeah.
Wait. So you're wandering around with sharp, pointy instruments and dancing?
Basically, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like the Russians? I always think of more of a...
Yeah, there is a version Cossack of that, dancing. But I haven't... Yeah.
Yes. And so...
I've seen it, but I haven't done it.
Right. So the clogging and the... I've heard of clogging. I've heard of Appalachian clogging. I've heard of Irish dancing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know anything about any of them. But, but they're much more physical, right? They're a lot more... And
it's
so...
It's dancing, if that's what you mean.
Right, I suppose all dance. Yes, is there a yoga dancing that happens very slowly?
And, probably
called Tai Chi, Jackie. And so when did you start dancing professionally? What was the gig?
Well, I always loved it. Okay, so my parents took me because they're musicians. My parents are both musicians.
Uh-huh.
So it was in my family and my DNA anyway. So I went to musical. So it was just always something I wanted to do. And I went to the Fame School, actually, although not for dance.
Okay.
Which was kind of heartbreaking.
Fame!
It was.
You're gonna live forever. All right.
I don't know about
that. That's just for the youth that are listening and maybe don't know the song. Anyway, so you went, but not for dance. But
not
for music?
For dance. Yeah, for voice.
Oh, for voice. Well, that's neat, because they all kind of blend into each other, right? The dancing and the singing and the playing.
Musical theater. I love musical theater.
Right.
So, yeah. So I wanted to do musical theater. So I went to high school for voice, and then I went to the University of Michigan for musical theater, which is an amazing, amazing musical theater program. And I
Ann Arbor, right?
Yeah, Ann Arbor. Yeah. And I'm still amazed that I got in.
Right. It's supposed to be one of the best in the country.
It is.
I only know that because I have friends who live in Ann Arbor who were amazed that their daughter got in.
Yeah.
Because they were like, no, even being from Ann Arbor, it doesn't matter. They don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're trying to build something.
Yeah. And I think I got in fairly near I don't think it had been around all that long when I got in.
Okay.
So I think that's why part of
fair enough. My college is much better today than it was ever when I went there.
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't get in now. So fair enough. So, but so you studied all of the, so when you go to musical theater school,
mm-hmm.
right, you study, I saw an American in Paris the other night
at
the Pantages,
which
is an entirely dance heavy musical.
Yeah.
I hated it as a child. As a child, because I was like, why is there so much dancing? I like the singing and the funny. And so obviously a big fan of things like Guys and Dolls and The Music Man.
I love both of those.
So they're great. But An American in Paris is entirely about the three different kinds of art, right? And dance is the biggest one, but there's also, like, he supposedly... his medium is drawing.
Okay.
And then the piano player, his is music. So, but then the ballet, because there's so much dance in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was Crazyville. So did you learn different kinds? Like, because you, in musical theory, you have to use all of them, especially like in American in Paris, which has both modern dance and what is modern dance? What is that?
Modern dance is another style of concert, performance dance.
Okay.
It's like ballet, but it's a little bit more relaxed, in aesthetically. Like ballet is very much about, alignment and turnout, having your feet completely turned out. And whereas modern is more in parallel position.
Oh.
So it's it can be a little more relaxed that way. So like a lot of ballet dancers like Mikhail Baryshnikov,
yeah,
when they got older and it was harder to be so...
To stick those, you know, landings?
Specific.
Yeah.
Not just landings, but yeah, be specific about fitting into that ballet aesthetic, mm-hmm. they would switch to modern dance because it's a little more relaxed,
a little more forgiving.
Easier on the body. Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
You hear the stories of the ballet dancers and the bleeding feet and the crazy... Yeah.
They work their butts
fucked
off.
Fucked up toes. And, yeah, whatever. So,
yeah. And so, like, the mother or, you know, modern dance stems from, like, you know, Dennis Shawn, Ruth Dennis and her partner's name.
And her partner?
Shawn. Ted Shawn.
Oh, nice.
I think I got it.
Well
and,
played.
And, like, Martha Graham and those kinds
and what,
of people.
And what decade is that from?
Well, Ruth Dennis is, like, 20s, late teens or 20s, I
think. Oh, really?
I think.
How long has ballet been around?
Oh, God, since the 19th century.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was...
Technically, really, since the Baroque, since Louis XIV.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is, what, 1500s?
1600s? Yes.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And by the way, all that history, it's coming from romance novels, you guys. So
yep.
Take it with a grain of salt. Okay. So you got Google. Knock yourselves out.
Yeah.
So.
And it is kind of fun because Louis XIV, you know, he essentially was the father of ballet, I guess. You know, I'm so afraid there are going to be other, like, dance historians listening to this being like, you are so full of shit. You don't know what the fuck you're talking
about. That's fine. They can write to me and I can go, well, good for you. Good for you for knowing things.
Yeah.
In other news, we're super excited about it. Okay. Go. Be as excited as you want,
good.
As accurate as you need to be.
So Louis XIV, I don't know why I'm doing this, but anyway, Louis XIV was, he's sort of the father of ballet because he a lot of what he did was very balletic and very sort of stylized.
The king himself?
Yeah, the king himself. And that's the thing, is that it was a social dance then, in a way. It was the king...
Wow.
With his captive audience performing, you know, for the nobility.
Right, right.
But so it was before there was this split between concert dance and social dance.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because people would just sit there and watch, or people would just get in, like, or, it was like the line was blurred kind of, or
yeah, it was
more of a, it could go either way. And people would watch and go, look how beautiful they dance.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then the nobility would get involved. And that's the thing. Those English country dances, a lot of those English country dances come from like 1650, around this time.
Okay.
But it was done a little bit differently than we do now, because often you would have a line of couples, like I was explaining before.
Yeah.
But one couple, the first couple at the top, would basically dance all the way down, you know, interacting with the people along the line, but they would be the only ones dancing, basically, until they got to the bottom. And then the next top couple would come. So a dance could go on for hours.
Oh, because because it starts over. Wait,
yeah.
Isn't there some sort of hip-hop thing where you go in the middle and you do something?
I think so.
Swing does that too. There's a lot of those kind of lined up, and you're like, and spotlight you guys.
Yeah.
Or spotlight you person.
Right.
Kind of thing. And breakdancing was that too.
Yeah.
Sure.
But the
Jackie Cation knowledge of dance is a little spotty, you guys. I'm a Swiss cheese knowledge of dance. though I did enjoy Drumline.
Oh, anyway. I still haven't seen that, for Pete's sake. I need to
really?
See that damn movie.
Drumline's wonderful.
Yeah. I've wanted to for years. Anyway. There's a few movies I've missed anyway,
sure.
but the thing about that, of course, was that was the nobility sort of, I think to some degree,
creating.
Claiming their right as nobility, you know, and now we do similar dances, but everybody dances at the same time.
Okay.
Rather than waiting for one person to
get
all the way down the line.
Right. It's not a star system. It's more, hey, we're dancing. And then it turns into Saturday Night Fever if you're really good, because people stop dancing around
exactly.
you and start watching you.
Right.
Oh, I get it.
Right.
All right. And then that line gets blurred again.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Interesting. So when...
I think so.
What about... So swing dancing is from big band.
Yeah.
Okay. So I love big band music.
Yeah.
Jazz is harder for me because there's a lot of improvisation going on.
Yes.
And I'm like, chop, chop.
And swing kind of died for a little while and then came back, partially because of like bebop and things like that, you know, which are harder to dance to.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
it is harder. Yeah. Because there's not a beat. there's a beat, but it's not steady enough to,
crooked and just kind of hard to catch, hard to grab onto, you know.
It's a very specific, very, very, it's a quality dancer who can dance to jazz, I think, because especially improvisational jazz.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, knock yourselves out. And the rest of us would like some time.
Yeah.
And so swing dancing is, I always think that it's sort of, and this is me shooting an arrow into the sky.
Yeah.
It's like waltzing, but fancier. Nope.
It depends on how you want to define it, I guess. Well,
Is swing all different? Is it all different time code as well? Time signs?
Time signatures?
Yeah.
No.
Is it mostly 4-4?
It's mostly 8-8.
It's 8-8 or 4-4?
Or 4-4, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
But the tempos vary. But I think that's true. I think that's fair to say.
That's what, because a waltz tempo is like a 4-4 in my head, even though I don't know how to waltz.
Waltz?
Waltz is 3-4. There you go. And I'm wrong. So that's the ideal. This is, see? I'm wrong so that listeners don't have to be.
Okay.
The 11th year, Renee. I'm talking, by the way, with Renee Camus. And if you want to, you can go to at C-A-M-U-S, which is Camus, R6. So C-A-M-U-S-R-6 is her Twitter handle, reneecamus.com. And there you go. We're talking about dance.
My YouTube is also C-A-M-U-S-R-6.
Oh, there you go.
There's a couple of, there's those Imogen Heap things.
Yeah, the Joko stuff.
And also a few dance videos, I think.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah. So swing, I always get intimidated. Well, I'm intimidated at every level with dance, quite honestly, which is, you're like, aw, who cares? Just do it.
Yeah.
Which is such a great thing about the Joko crews, which is why I love you people.
It's the truth, though. I mean, especially I found it's worse with men. Grand generalization here, but I find that it's worse
sweeping,
with men.
Oh, they get freaked out?
Because they're afraid of looking like an idiot, or they're afraid to, I don't know what they're afraid of. I think mostly they don't want to look stupid.
Right, right. Because they're raised to not look stupid.
Yeah.
They're raised to care about it more, and we're like, well, we're constantly being called stupid, so I might as well look stupid until I learn how to do it.
Not to mention these horrible ideas about what men are supposed to be like and how dance is effeminate and all that kind of bullshit that is just wrong.
It's wrong, because if you've ever seen male dancers, you're like, Jesus, that's hot.
Yeah.
So,
right? No kidding.
Yeah. There's nobody sexier than watching a dude dance well.
I know. I'm serious.
Yeah.
So
get out there, gentlemen. You too.
Yeah.
You too.
So the only, you know, your biggest conflict is in your head. It's all up in your brain going, oh no, I'm going to look stupid. No.
Right. And then swing dancing is, I get intimidated because I want to swing dance, but I also want to wear those clothes. Because the clothes are, the 40s kind of clothes are neat, but I would also need a team to make it look right. So
you don't have to have the clothes in order to do it, obviously.
No, you can just dance normal. Just dance.
It's fun.
Dance like the world isn't watching.
Yeah.
My thing is I only dance when the world isn't watching. So
and you never know when that is.
No, I dance alone. And so you do swing dancing as well?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bunch of different kinds of that, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Swing dancing is a general umbrella term, and then there's a whole bunch of different dances within that, and they talk about that in that swing documentary, Alive and Kicking.
Okay.
So, but there's Lindy Hop is sort of the main one.
Okay.
It grew out of the Charleston, by the way.
Okay.
It grew out of the Charleston. Lindy Hop is kind of the main one that, or at least the first one.
Right.
And then there's West Coast Swing. East Coast Swing is like Lindy Hop, but it's a much simpler version. East Coast Swing is what I taught on the Joko Cruise, for example, because it's your very basic kind of swing.
That's right.
Yeah. I taught two classes on the Joko Cruise. I taught two swing classes, and then I did a English country contra dance thing.
That's awesome.
That was fun.
Yeah.
So then within swing, there's Lindy Hop, there's East Coast Swing, there's West Coast Swing, there's Balboa, there's Shag, there's Carolina Shag, there's St. Louis Shag, and there's a third Shag that I'm blanking on. Then
there's so many different kinds.
There's Boog. Yeah. And I don't even know them all, but.
So, right. And everybody. So what,
DC hand dancing.
Right. DC hand dancing.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Are your hands involved?
Of course.
Excellent.
They always are.
Of course.
It's kind of like, I've done a little bit of that. It's kind of like West Coast. It's a more bluesy kind of thing, you know, style with a lot of sort of hand passing.
Oh.
Sort of, I think, more constant connection with the hands, sort of.
Okay, so you're touching a lot more than, right, because.
Yeah.
So there's, because couples dancing, are you always touching? Or, because, you know, like when you go to a club, you usually just pretend grinding at each other, right? And so, what is that called?
Well,
is that called pretend grinding?
I used to call it shit dancing.
Wow. That's
back when I was younger and had an attitude about these things.
Right, a little less of a safe space. Anybody wants to come on and talk about their grind dancing? Good. Email me.
No, clubbing is fun. I just call it clubbing, I guess.
Yeah. Sort of just club dancing, just kind of jumping around, having a good time.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's, well, if people have studied it, I haven't, so I don't know.
Right.
I'm sure that people have.
Yeah. I'm sure there's something out there.
Yeah.
Right. Cause it's, there's in clubs, you see people dancing dances, mm-hmm. right? I mean, there is
Mashed Potato and Running Man and those kinds of things, I guess.
I don't know. There was some sort of, I'm going to sound like I was 107, but I want everyone to know that I was born 107. So yes, I don't know what I'm talking about. It's that thing with the, I'm just too embarrassed. So safe space. I don't know. Someone did it at Murray Bamford's, the kids did it at the, like, two 15-year-olds did it at, with a broken leg business. And the song was, it was a hip hop song where it was a specific dance to a dance. It was a dance song that was a dance, right?
Do you mean like
the Charleston is also a song, right? Wasn't it or the Lindy?
There
Hop?
Was, yeah, I think so. There isn't a song.
Sometimes there's a song and then there's a dance that goes with it.
Yes, but they don't always come first. Like you wouldn't know it. You know, sometimes the song comes after the dance.
I see. It's a response to the dance.
It was popular. Yeah, exactly. So it's, but yeah, there are lots of dance songs. I'm not sure how to call it, but yeah, where like there's a great Danny Kaye. Well, does a version of this where he says like, I'm trying to remember the name of the song, but he says, you do the Eagle Rock with such style and grace, you know, and it, like the whole thing is just naming a whole bunch of different dances.
Yeah.
Within, and each one is like one little step and that's the dance.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
As opposed to like an English country dance called Child Grove, which is a whole bunch of different figures within it.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Child Grove. Nice. I like the names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are some really weird names. Like one, like the Pride and Prejudice with Colin Firth.
Right. That's a classic.
It is a classic. The dances in there are good because they're kind of the real dances mostly. Okay. Of course, they change them a little bit because it's on camera and all that stuff. So like they do a couple of real dances in there. They do Grimstock and they do Mr. Beveridge's Maggot. Or Beaverage. I heard Beaverage also.
Right. So however it's pronounced, but by God, those are weird. There's a names. Dance with a maggot word in it.
Yes. Maggot meant whim or
did it?
Idea. Yeah. It wasn't
have a
the
maggot
little bug.
In your eye. But if you have a maggot in your brain, you have a weird idea.
Yeah.
But you also might have a maggot in your brain, and that's really going to mess with your brain.
That's like Pink Floyd crap.
Yeah, that's going to really get out there. Oh, yeah. Sure. Spooky.
And the worms ate into his brain. Yeah.
All right. So what are the great historical dance movies? Because you like musicals, right? And so An American in Paris, did you see that when you were a kid?
I've seen pieces of it, definitely.
Right.
But I'm actually not sure if I've ever seen the whole thing start to finish.
The movie with Gene Kelly and the famous ballerina.
Sid Charisse.
Thank you.
Isn't
Sid Charisse.
Yeah.
It is Sid Charisse. And because the other night at the movies... At the play, because I bought season tickets to the Pantages so I could see Hamilton in September.
Yeah!
I bought them a year and a half ago.
I'm so stressed out about those damn tickets already.
Did you get them?
No, they go on sale soon.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. So
I was going to try to do that then, but it's so much money and we weren't sure we could afford it. And then I went back, you know, we kind of said, yes, let's do it. And I went back and it was,
well,
so,
I
they
bought
stopped
them
selling
the
them.
Day after. I almost spent $1,500 for one ticket without a flight
and
a hotel to go to New York. And then I called people, dial first before you purchase items, because people who had seen it in New York were like, no, it's great. It's not worth $1,500 plus another grand in air and hotel.
Yeah, that's
so keep it together and buy season tickets. And then so we have already seen Hedwig.
Oh,
and
cool.
we saw, we're going to see the Book of Mormon and then Hamilton. And then there's a bunch of other ones. Like Andy saw The King and I was on the road.
We saw that. Yeah.
And then I guess there's An American in Paris. There was Neverland.
Yep.
And
saw there. That. That was disappointing. We just saw Finding Neverland a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, that's it.
A month ago.
Yeah.
And I had seen it in New York and I loved it.
Oh, good.
I loved it in New York. They changed it for the Pantages. They, like, the first 20 minutes were completely different.
Well, that's
and
weird.
I was really disappointed because one of my favorite songs from the album or from, you know, the show was no longer in it when I saw it at the Pantages.
Oh, that is weird.
I was hugely disappointed.
Yeah, we saw Hedwig and we had seen Hedwig a year ago in New York with the guy who's in the movie who wrote it.
John Michael,
whatever.
Something.
And I accidentally bought tickets for his second night back playing it after Neil Patrick Harris.
Ah.
And I liked it, but I didn't know what it was when we went to see it. Literally, this very liberal thought went through me. It's a gay thing. Really? Out loud? Yes. Yes. That's what I, nice. And then it was, I mean, and it was beautiful and it was, I cried and I laughed and it was a delight.
Better than Cats?
It was, oh my God, almost everything is for me. I like Cats. I don't like the movie
musical Cats
or the musical. Yes. Anyway, so in other news, in other things that I can shit on that people love, I'm so sorry.
No. Please. Cats gets a lot of.
Right. It gets a lot of guff.
I actually did like it.
Yeah.
But I was a 13-year-old girl at the time. So I was.
The 13-year-old I was babysitting for loved it.
Yes. I was the demographic.
You were that demographic. There was a window. You fell into the window.
Yep.
And it was perfect.
Yeah.
And her little brother, I came down and they were watching Cats. And she was, I think, 11 or 12. And what she would do is she would get those. Have you ever gotten those? They're not bootlegs because they sell them. They're Broadway musicals.
Oh.
So she got the VHS tapes of those.
They are bootlegs, aren't they?
Are they bootlegs? I thought they were real.
Anyway. Well, it depends on what you're talking about. I mean, there are some, like, sometimes do they sell it in the stores and stuff?
But I think that she bought them, like she had an Into the Woods with Bernadette.
Yes. That's a film. Yeah. A filmed version. Play,
and
basically.
Supposedly the film version of Hamilton with Lin-Manuel Miranda will come out eventually. And I will purchase that.
In about decades from now.
Right.
Yeah.
Come. Yeah. There's no reason. At one point on this show, every week, I would say, if someone could put together all of the different clips that they have taken on news shows and put them in order, that'd be great. And the great thing about it is all the clips that they have are before the duel, so everybody lives.
Screw history.
Screw history.
Have everybody live.
Everybody lives. They're still alive. They're living in Harlem. And so
I actually have a bootleg of Hamilton.
Well, a friend
that I haven't
of mine,
watched yet, but I will.
Well, that's my friend who's seen it more than three times. She saw it at the Public,
God.
And then she saw it twice. I know for sure. She was the person I called and said, should I buy the tickets? And she said, don't be ridiculous. Just buy the season tickets and go, because it'll be in Los Angeles. The cast will be amazing because everyone wants to be in movies.
And because Lin-Manuel can't sing that well. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
But
you are not alone.
But
well, he surrounded himself with such amazing talent that he's a better singer than I am. but comparatively, he is not. I mean, the other people were so amazing that you're like, oh, he's just okay.
Yeah. And, he's not that good.
comparatively. And so who knows who will play the lead. But he, you know. But it should be, I wanted us, the one thing I didn't, all right, I'm taking over. I'm so sorry, but Philippa Sue I bought tickets to Amelie.
Yeah, I wanted to see that.
And I then got work out of town.
You
so
didn't see
Andy
it?
Had to take a friend.
Aww.
And so I didn't get to see her in Amelie, but we watched the movie again.
Oh, the movie's so good.
The movie's so good. It's such a lovely movie.
Do you know, the first time I saw it, I burst into tears at the end of it because there was so much tension. Like the whole time I was so terrified that something awful was going to happen that by the time it ended all happily, I lost
Yay!
My shit. It was really,
I have to tell you that there were two movies that when Andy and I were dating, he loved Amelie and I loved Midnight Run. And, we watched Amelie and I didn't really see it as far as I was concerned. We were making out. And he has never seen Midnight Run. because we made out to it. And we tried to watch it several times. Same with Amelie. But I've never told him that I never saw Amelie for real until the other night after. And he said that Philippa Sue was great in it.
He still
likes the movie better. Aww. And but the version of Hedwig that they did at the Pantages was, I thought, better for me, just because, you know, productions vary, obviously, as we've spoken. Mm-hmm. And this production of Hedwig was great. I thought it was really great. And it was, and plus I knew what it was about, which also helped when you see it again and you're like, oh, I get it. Yeah. But An American in Paris has such hardcore sexism going on.
Oh, I'm sure.
That it's so hard with some of those movies that what I did was I played a little game with myself to make myself okay with it. Because at one point, the Gene Kelly character, the lead, and the French girl, he essentially, she says her name is Lise. And he's like, Lise is a dumb name. I'm going to call you Eliza. And she's like, my name is Lise. And by the end of the movie, by the end of the play, she's like, you can call me Eliza. And I was like, ugh. Yeah. And except for the fact that it's proof positive that if you like somebody, sometimes what they do isn't creepy. But if you don't like them, it's creepy. Totally creepy. And you're like, well, you can't change my name.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, you have a pet name for me. Everyone else can still call me whatever. But like one time after Andy, we were like our eighth date or something like that. We had driven separately. He had come to see a show of mine that was very new and very weird. And afterwards, he was like, it was wonderful. I loved it. I drive home. An hour after I get home, there's a knock on my apartment door, and he's there with a rose.
Aww.
And he was like, the show really affected me so much. I just wanted to tell you that. And he said, there was part of me that was just going to leave the flower. And then I was like, well, that's creepy. And I thought, being here is creepy. And I was like, unless I like you, then I think it's great. And it was. So
that's so sweet.
What a weird, I mean, it's just such a, and so he could have changed my name. Luckily, he's never changed my name.
Yeah.
So, because it is kind of weird.
Yeah. That is hard, though.
I should give you 5 minutes back, because holy shit with the
no
talking.
No worries. Mm-hmm. No, it's fun. Yeah. But that is weird, though, because the sexism is very weird. And even with Hamilton, I have a hard time with it, actually. You know, that's a current show, a new show.
Right.
And I still have a hard time with it because it's all about Hamilton, obviously.
Right.
But the women in the show only exist in terms of their relationship to him. And it's all about him and his eyes. And I'm like, oh, whatever, you know.
Right. And part of it is because we don't have enough information.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, whenever I read about, you know, she kept all of his letters. Mm-hmm. He didn't keep any of her letters. And you're like, what do you mean you didn't keep any of her letters? And he's like, she kept all of yours.
Yeah.
And because just think about all the letters that women wrote that the guys were like, yeah, that was great. Throw it in the fire.
Right.
And
yeah.
And so, but history is written by the winners. And that happens to be a pile of white guys.
Yep. Yep.
But there are. Yeah. So what are your favorite musical? I mean, are there musicals that have more dance that.
Dance is, it's tough because there's so many I love musicals, and there's so many musicals generally and that I love that have no dancing in them at all.
None at all.
Yes. And in fact, I am a huge Sondheim fan. I love Stephen Sondheim. He is my god.
Okay.
And
I've only, I think, seen Into the Woods.
Okay. Yeah. It's great.
What are his
others? He's very esoteric. He's very sort of, eclectic. He's esoteric.
Into the Woods
that
was
is the thing. It's an odd show.
Yeah. I loved it when I saw it. I was like, who is this guy? Because again, I don't know things.
He's brilliant. I always think of this. I always feel like there was, at least maybe not now because, you know, this is older school, but there was this kind of war, if you will, between Stephen Sondheim and Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Ah.
And, you know, Andrew Lloyd Webber. No, that's Tim Rice, who worked with Andrew Lloyd Webber, but it's not Andrew Lloyd Webber. It's actually the two guys from ABBA.
That's right.
Yes.
It's ABBA
Chess
and Tim Rice.
Chess is a great show.
Yes. Chess is so deep nerd.
Yes.
That it's,
a lot of nerds love chess. It's true.
A lot of nerds love chess.
And it's not that great a show. The score is great.
It is great.
But the show has never quite worked.
The compelling story of chess. It's true.
Anyway, so Lloyd Webber is Cats, Jesus Christ Superstar, Joseph the Amazing.
Okay.
Evita, which I love.
Joseph the Embarrassing. La, 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 la.
Too much to say. Joseph and the really, really, really long title.
Right.
Cats, Did I say that? That's
yeah.
Starlight Express. Sondheim.
Starlight Express, the roller skating one.
Exactly.
Yes.
So Lloyd Webber is very commercial, very sort of mainstream. You go out humming the scenery. and you go out humming the tunes, you know, right. Music of the Night and all that stuff. Phantom. Sondheim, on the other hand, is more esoteric, as I said. It's more for fans of musical theater, I guess, if you will.
Okay.
It's a little more knowledgeable. It's a little bit.
Yeah, it came in inside.
I suppose. I don't know if it is.
No?
In the terms of referencing
by fans of musicals themselves.
No, you just have to be a little more knowledgeable maybe to get it, because like the biggest complaint that people make, not me, but other people make about Sondheim, and he made it about himself in one of his shows, that's kind of
okay,
is that you can't hum the tunes. The tunes are a little too complicated to sort of go out of the theater humming the tunes.
Okay.
Which for me is like,
what else did he
care.
Do besides Into the Woods offhand?
Okay, so he did Into the Woods, Sweeney Todd.
Oh, Jesus God. People
is
love
his
Sweeney Todd.
Best. It's such a brilliant show.
People.
Sweeney Todd, A Little Night Music, Merrily We Roll Along, which was a flop, and that's the one where he references his own lack of having a hit tune.
Fair enough.
I said A Little Night Music, Send in the Clowns is from that. You remember that song?
The song Send in the Clowns?
Is from A Little Night Music.
Oh, that's hilarious. Okay.
I guess so.
Well, because it's such a, like a, it's a classic 1970 sad sack roller skate backwards, like weird song. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Roller skate backwards. Yeah.
It's a,
that's true.
Send in the clown. And then you're like, you got to find a 14 year old with sweaty palms and you got to, all right. Stop touching
that's
me.
That's so funny.
Anyway.
But, yeah. And of course, it has nothing to do with any of that in the show.
At
it's
all.
It's totally, it's, you know.
Right. Which is why
in the
I was
context
like,
of the
it's
show.
It's in a show, which means that there must be. Mm-hmm. A contact. I've never seen that one.
Oh, it's a great.
Do they send
show.
In clowns?
No.
Okay.
No, she's an actress.
Okay.
She's an actress, and she's basically talking about how she missed her shot with this guy, essentially.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a real. It's the very end of the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's sort of the penultimate or ultimate.
Yeah, it's her. Yeah, penultimate realization of what she's been doing this whole time and how she kind of messed it up.
All right.
So, but of course, then they.
And what's it called? What's the name of that show?
A Little Night Music.
A Little Night Music.
Yeah, it's great. Okay. It's based on an Ingmar Bergman movie called Smiles of a Summer Night, which is also really good. I've seen that too.
Yeah, I'm going to say a musical based on an Ingmar Bergman, that's going to be meta. That's going to be inside baseball.
Yeah, I guess.
That's, that's going to be super intense. You're going to have to give a lot of shits to get involved. You got to have a horse in that race to want to even go there. So,
I suppose so.
Yeah.
That's the thing. He's got very unique stories. I mean,
super
obviously, Sweeney Todd, of course, about a murderous barber.
Right. Amazing. Where you're like, what is this about? And you're wearing your Sweeney Todd's t-shirt.
I am, indeed.
Well played. That's a knife or a razor.
Yeah. This is from the movie, but still.
Yeah, it's still pretty great.
I love it. Yeah, and then like he's got one called Pacific Overtures, which is about the opening of Japan to other nations coming in trading
hilarious
with it.
Hilarious.
I awesome. Know, right?
Yeah.
Very unique. He's Follies is one about the Ziegfeld Follies.
Oh, the Ziegfeld Follies?
Or something like it.
Yeah.
Ziegfeld, yeah.
So that's Sondheim.
Yep.
And Andrew Lloyd Webber is Jesus Christ Superstar. I've been listening to that a lot. Easter's coming, you guys, when we're recording this. Anyway.
That's true.
And Jesus Christ Superstar was genuinely my religious experience when I was 13. You know how like you'll hear about like everyone in junior high, all of my Jewish friends are like, I used to follow the Christians around when I was in 13, or the atheist kids are like, I went with these weird evangelical people to church because I was like, what are you doing on Sundays? And so we always went to church. And then I found Jesus Christ Superstar when I was like 12. It was my stepmother's album collection. I went through it and I was like, and I would sob when he was killed.
Oh,
and
I know.
And Mary Magdalene's song about loving him but not loving him and wanting to do it with him but not. I remember going, oh, this is hot.
Oh, I don't know how to love him, yeah.
Yeah, it was all, so, whatever.
Yeah. So, do you like Godspell, too?
I have never seen or heard Godspell.
Oh,
how weird
God.
Is that, right? Who wrote Godspell?
Stephen Schwartz, who is also really awesome. Stephen Schwartz did Wicked.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I love Wicked.
Right.
Wicked is right behind Sweeney Todd, I think, is my favorite musicals.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's. I gave the book to my stepmother, who loved the other.
That's the thing. I
Wizard
hated the book.
You didn't like the book at all?
Wicked? Hated it. Hated it. Hated it. Hated it. Hated it.
With the power of the sun.
Hated it.
Did not enjoy it. The adaptation to the musical. On fire.
I love. Yes. Okay. And I have to say that, to be honest, or to be fair to the book,
yeah,
I started reading the book because I heard about the musical.
Oh, okay. You had heard.
So by that point, and I'd heard like a song from it in the store.
Right.
So it already gave me an idea of what I thought the book would be about, and it wasn't. And the thing that the book did, spoiler, maybe.
30,000 years ago. Go ahead.
The thing that the book does over and over and over again, which is a huge pet peeve of mine when I'm watching TV or anything else too, as soon as it got interesting, they jumped forward 7 years.
Oh my God. A classic problem.
I hate that.
Show, don't tell.
Yes. I hate that. That's... And Jane the Virgin did that recently, and I'm still very angry at them about it. I am. I don't know if you watch that or not. I'm still very angry at them.
You're like, what are you doing? It's wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, but Wicked is that is interesting.
I love Wicked.
Yeah. All right. So Wicked the well, as I remember, comparable but not comparable. still mad about the Federalist Papers because I went down this Revolutionary War rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. You saw my copy of 1776, which I finally just bought instead of just rebuying it on Amazon Prime over and over again.
Oh,
anyway, I was like, just get the DVD.
Yeah, it's
and
great.
So
although there's so little music in it, really. But yes.
Right. But the and the guy who was in Magnum PI who did the voice of Kit the Car played John Adams.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that guy. And he's got a name. Anyway, people know it. I don't. The
John something.
Adams. John. It was John Adams who played him. That was his real name. No, I'm kidding. But I have a poli sci degree. So I have a copy of the Federalist Papers around, and I've read it, and some of them are true, and it was a defense of the Constitution, right?
So
I'm reading
from Hamilton. That's all.
That's
I know.
So I'm reading it, going, yeah, you really wanted there. You really, it's alluded to in the play, in the musical, is that he wanted George Washington to be the king. And he wanted it, and he liked the idea of monarchy more than a super strong central government. That's what he was a big fan of. Hmm. And so I am hit and miss. You know, I'm obviously, please, let there be roads.
Interesting.
So whatever. Anyway, again, we've digressed.
I know. So. I know how to bring it back to dancing, though.
Do it.
1776. I love 1776.
Yeah.
It's a great show. Great musical. Movie's great, too. Not all the movie adaptations are good.
Yeah.
Like, avoid A Little Night Music. There's a movie version with, what's her name? Elizabeth Taylor. It's horrible.
It's horrible.
Awful.
Okay.
Yeah. So don't watch it.
Move around it.
Yeah. But 1776, there's a waltz in it.
That's right.
And it's totally wrong because the waltz is not really around yet.
That's right. The waltz wasn't invented until the 1800s, right?
Yep. Yeah, 1810s or so.
Right, because again, Regency romance is coming.
Yeah.
It was a very scandalous. It was a scandalous
huge
dance
scandal
because you were twirling around the room in a male embrace.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Because if you think about the English country dances, the most you would do with a partner is take hands.
Right, and you're all wearing gloves.
And you're wearing gloves and all
right,
that. Yeah.
And all that.
And yeah, and so then all of a sudden with the waltz, you are actually holding your partner, you know, shoulders by their shoulders or their waist or whatever, and you're spinning around frantically, and you know a lot of.
Do you still do you still take any sort of dance classes or anything?
I teach.
More than take. Mm-hmm. And so what do you do to dance yourself?
There's an English country dance group in Culver City. I go to them frequently, although I missed the last like three because I've been out of town. But
yeah, we're working it.
But. Like there was one yesterday that I didn't go, or Sunday that I didn't go to. But
sometimes you got to lie down.
I know.
Yeah, no worries. I get it. Because I want to take dance. Andy and I have talked about taking dance classes for a decade.
Yeah.
And we have never done it. And there's a dance right next to our favorite Lebanese restaurant. There's one of those Arthur Murray's.
Oh, cool.
Or whatever. We could just go.
Yeah.
And,
you should. Yeah. And I mean, English country dancing, again, is a social dance in the sense that it's not a class. You know, you just go and you dance. You go and you, you know, and they sort of teach you as you're doing it.
Okay.
Right. Because, you know, they sort of walk you through the figures and then they call the figures when the, you know, they walk you through the figures. So you sort of learn it that way. And then they have the musicians start playing and they call it as the music is playing.
Right. So it can be pay and play right then.
Yeah. So you incorporate some of it. You sort of take it in, but it's not like a class in the same sense that
you show up,
that the teacher is teaching. You know what I mean? It's it's more of a social community building.
What classes do you teach? Do you teach swing?
So I do a similar. I have. I'm not
right,
now.
On the ship you did
on the cruise, but also in Maryland when I lived in Maryland. I did a lot more of it there. I moved here about 5 years ago.
Oh, okay.
From Maryland.
Got it.
And so I did a lot more in Maryland and then sort of took a step backward. And, I stepped away from it for a while, like I said. And so now in the last 2 or 3 years or so, I'm getting back into it.
Oh, fun.
So, yeah. So in Maryland, I was teaching a lot. I was teaching tap. I was teaching ballroom dancing. I was teaching swing. I was teaching some salsa.
Oh, nice.
And some hustle, the swing.
Hustle, which
again,
is partners.
Yes.
Okay.
Hustle is a form of swing dancing within mm-hmm. that big umbrella. So I was teaching a little bit of that too. And I had a ballroom in my house.
Really?
Yeah. Had a ballroom in my house.
It was kind of cleaned out
awesome.
One of the rooms. And you're like, this is a ballroom.
Actually, it was, we bought it from friends of ours who had it built. They erased the garage off their blueprint and drew in a ballroom instead. Yeah. It was,
That is a dork triumph.
It was really cool.
Awesome.
My husband and I met there. We met dancing when he was married to somebody else, and I had nothing to do with that.
Right.
But I just want to put that out
note
there.
No, just everyone. Good egg.
At that point. Anyway.
TikTok.
I had, so we met there. He was married. I was, and, you know, we were both friends with the owners at the time.
Oh, right.
And then when he got divorced, he sort of removed himself from the equation for a while. He's self-exiled. And then sometime later, he came back and we met.
Right.
Actually, we met at a mutual friend's wedding. But anyway, point is, later... After we started dating, we ended up buying the house.
That house?
From those friends of ours.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So then you had a ballroom in your house.
Uh-huh. And we got married in it, too. So.
Oh, my gosh. What a cool ball. Andy has a dream, and it involves some sort of game room attached to this house.
We had a big game room, too. Yeah.
Right. Where he wants a table that's lit from beneath, and you could just project a D&D dex map. Calm down. A lot of good things are happening. I'm in favor of whatever he wants to do, as long as I can just do catering. He designed that kitchen floor. And,
cool.
We just got a new kitchen floor. And, cause previously it was, it got dirty if you looked at it. And now, it hides the dirt better and it's a linoleum. So it cleans and stays cleaner, longer. So God love America. Gotta love linoleum. Anyway, so if you were to recommend me or anyone to take dance classes, what would you for literally, I don't, and what kind of shoes should I, can I just wear my sneakers? Probably not.
It's better to wear,
dedicated sneakers.
Okay. It depends on what you want to do for both questions. It depends on what you want to do. Like if you want to take ballet or,
no, I want to take some sort of, waltzing.
Social dancing.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
There are Arthur Murray Studios. Those are fine. What my limited experience with them is that they will try to sell you more and more classes.
Oh, right.
And the ballroom dancing that I've done, I don't like the very standardized, codified.
It's pretty strict, right?
It can be pretty strict.
Have you ever seen
those
Strictly
dances,
Ballroom?
Oh, I love Strictly Ballroom. Love Baz Luhrmann. He's amazing.
Yep.
Moulin Rouge. My thesis was on the can-can. So Moulin Rouge was...
What?
I was
awesome.
My thesis was actually a comparison of the can-can and the Charleston. It was really fun. So I was all about Moulin Rouge. Love Strictly Ballroom. Loved all of those. Actually, I still haven't seen Romeo and Juliet. But anyway.
Fair enough.
My husband's going to tell me too.
I own it. And I've never watched it. Mostly because I have a hard time with Shakespeare.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah. And,
so do I.
Do you know what it makes me? It makes me feel like, to even say it out loud, there's a small amount of shame.
Yes.
But this is the safest space in the world, and so get over it. Anyway.
I'm fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I feel
you're not judging me.
Stupid.
You're never alone, you guys. You're never alone.
Yeah.
Last episode, I was talking about all kinds of just pulp, because pulp is good. There's nothing wrong with... There's all kinds of nonsense out there we all love.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So it depends on what, that's right. So I do feel like they can tend to try to sell you more classes, which I don't love.
Yeah.
And again, the very standardized things, what I have focused on is dancing before, the similar kinds of dances like waltz, tango, foxtrot, stuff like that before it was standardized for competition.
Right.
So it was a little more loose.
Yeah.
A little more, you know. Like,
I mean,
free,
I suppose I could go on Craigslist and find dance classes too, mm-hmm. right?
I
mean,
I did just start a new series.
Yeah.
I started a monthly series, First Friday Dances. We just had one the other day.
Right.
And we need more people to come out and join us. So.
Okay. We live in the same city.
Yeah. It's actually in Pasadena. It's in okay. South Pasadena. First Friday, what is it? First Friday Dance Parties.
Okay.
And you see it on my website or on Facebook, First Friday Dance Parties.
First Friday Dance Parties.
Yeah. And it's a big mix of like swing and one step and waltz and some country dances, some okay. contra dances. And I teach it.
I am going to say that we will come to at least one.
That would be great.
That would be neat.
That would be great.
Yes.
And do it soon before it stops happening.
Right. Please come before not enough people come. And then
yeah,
we have
to close it down.
It.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Noted.
And it's only $12.
It's $12. Yeah. Well, and the thing is this is going to go up at the end of May. So okay. we'll see how long it lasts. But ReneeCamus.com will always have whatever the new class you're teaching anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. So yeah. people can always check that, including myself,
yeah.
to see what the hell you're teaching and what's going down.
Yeah.
So
are we almost done?
We are done.
Aww.
I know it. Oh yeah. We are at an hour, but this has been fascinating. Yeah. I have learned many things and also been revealed the many things I do not know, which is a classic, classic episode of the Dork Forest.
Oh good.
It was really great meeting you on the Joko cruise. And then this has been even better getting to know you because I walked onto that cruise going, I could be friends with all of these people.
Right.
It's kind of amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah. The Joko cruise is pretty awesome. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yep. I was actually hoping selfishly to bring it around to Titanic because.
Oh, you can come on again.
Yeah? Yeah. Oh my God. I would love that so much.
Yeah. It might take a little while, but we'll get you back in rotation. Renee Camus. And we'll talk about the movie Titanic.
Yes, not just the movie, but the event. And because that's actually those pre-dances that I was talking about, those are from that era, from 1912, 1913.
Always, I believe it is Brian Upton, who has been on this program and is a game designer, has always had the greatest idea for a recurring one-hour show based on the Titanic.
Oh, yeah.
Every week, it sinks. Every week, you follow a different person on the ship.
Yes. Oh my God.
Every week you're like, are they going to live? Are they going to get off this ship? And then in the background, you will see people that were on previous episodes just running by.
That's awesome.
And every week you can see the band because the band stays.
Yeah.
So,
there were 2,200 people on that boat. That's
2,200 episodes.
Yeah. At least.
It would be an amazing show.
That
Brian
would
Upton.
Be, oh my God.
Hollywood, get in touch with them.
Serious.
Yeah. Renee
That's
Kimmel,
awesome.
Thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you for having me. It was
You're
really
welcome.
Fun.
And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?